how you all are doing today. Really. After the big party last weekend, we had a house guest at the Valenti's, and then so I finally caught up on the news on Thursday to hear about this looming government shutdown, which was kicked down the road at the 11th hour last night till November. But I can only imagine how it affects you all, and know that I see you, and I'm holding you in prayer. The endless politics must make you feel a little weary in the midst of just trying to do your job the best you can, caring for our neighbors and our country. So it's okay this morning if you feel a little weary. Maybe, too, it's the change in weather. There's this hint of fall in the air, a slight uptick in the wind. The sun is setting a little earlier. All these signs point to, indeed, winter is coming. Perhaps the weariness, too, comes from the fact that COVID is still with us. Illness continues to be a character in our lives, and even with immunizations, getting sick is not fun. On top of all the normal stuff of human life, another friend is diagnosed with cancer. Depression is still with us. Our humanness, our busyness, can all make us feel a little weary sometimes. Florence Williams, the American journalist and author, writes that science has proven spending time in nature gives us superpowers. After just 5 minutes in a natural environment, taking some deep breaths, hearing some bird songs, looking at trees or water, after just 5 minutes, our nervous system starts to do different things. Your blood pressure lowers. Your heart rate drops. Your stress cortisone levels go down. New research suggests that nearsightedness is not from staring too much at our screens. It's actually because of the lack of vitamin D. That vitamin we most absorb from the sun. Taking a few minutes to be among the trees helps us feel less stressed. It strengthens our immune system and helps us sleep better. So how fun today that we get to talk about trees. John Muir, the pastor kid and famous creator of Yosemite National Park, is known for saying that between every two pine trees, there's a doorway to a new world. I think the prophet Isaiah also knew this. These Israelites were weary too. They had been in exile for so long they had forgotten what life was like before. In the midst of turmoil and pain and struggle and weariness, Isaiah paints this picture of hope, a new beginning of what is to come. God's ways are not our ways, so do not worry when things feel hard and you are tired and things are messy, for God's slow work is still happening, and restoration will come. And when it does, it'll be amazing. There will be joy and peace and singing, and even the trees will dance with us. Maybe Isaiah knew about the scientific benefits of being around trees. They create oxygen so we can breathe. Their root systems stop erosion from ruining the land. They provide shelter for birds and animals and food for the critters and for us. Or maybe Isaiah just knew that he felt better being around the trees, more calm and at peace. But no matter the facts, trees mattered in Scripture, and they matter to us today. Wangari Maathai is a modern-day prophet, and she is one of my personal heroes, for she understood the importance of trees. She was born in 1940 and grew up in a rural village in Kenya. Daniel, come back! He's gone this way now. You are outnumbered today, David. Anyway, Wangari Maathai was born in the 1940s, and she grew up in this rural village in Kenya, surrounded by this beautiful tree canopy where the birds sang and life flourished. She went to university in the United States. And when she returned home, she noticed that the trees had been harvested in the name of progress. And life was now much harder for the people of her village. They had to travel far to get firewood to cook and to heat their homes. And the land was so barren and dry that the crops were struggling. And so she planted 9 seedlings in her backyard. And then seeing these baby trees take root gave her an idea to start a tree nursery. And she convinced the women of her village to plant trees too. And she paid each of these women in the village a little salary for every tree still living after 3 months. And slowly this green belt came back to Kenya. She went to local government officials and spoke the importance of parks and green spaces. And word spread, and more women planted until there were over 30 million trees. When Gari Mathai was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 2004 for her contribution to world peace through what is now known as the Green Belt Movement. In African tradition, a tree is a symbol of peace. In her acceptance speech, she said, "We are called to assist the earth, to heal her wounds, and in progress heal our own. Indeed, to embrace the whole creation in all its diversity, beauty, and wonder." She has died, but her work continues. In fact, there's been a little community organizing happening in our own neighborhood of Arlington for our own beautiful tree canopy. The painting for your bulletin this week is of Arlington Forest. Does anybody know where that is? Yeah? It's not a swimming pool. That sounds like a cool spot, though. There is a neighborhood called Arlington Forest. And it has a pool, that neighborhood, yeah. But there's also a spot called Arlington Forest with these old trees. So your painting depicts the estate of George Washington Park Custis, the grandson of George Washington's wife, Martha, from her first marriage. And in the early 1800s, Custis built this Greek Revival mansion on the top of a hill, clearing some trees so they could see, like, this burgeoning new nation's capital growing below them across the river. Even Lafayette visited and said, "You should cherish these trees around your mansion, because remember, it's a lot easier to trim a tree than to grow a new one." When the Custises died, their only kid, Mary Anna, inherited the land. Does anyone know who she married? Robert E. Lee, who said that? Yes! Carolyn, great job! And do you know the spot of land that they owned? Arlington National Cemetery, yes. And so what did we do to get back at the Confederate General Robert E. Lee? We started burying dead soldiers on his property. And we cut down a lot of the trees, a lot of them. But there are 12 acres left, 12 acres of this old forest next to the Arlington House. And so it's kind of owned by the National Park Service and kind of owned by the Department of Defense. And they're kind of at odds with each other on, do we keep the trees or do we keep burying people? And I don't know. I'm kind of rooting for the trees. But it sounds like a really neat spot. I wish there was a swimming pool there. That would be cool. But the cemetery itself has over 9,000 native and exotic trees on their property. And they're considered to be an arboretum, just like our cemetery right here is an arboretum. But trees matter. They give us life. And so, this week your challenge, if you choose to accept it, is maybe go to Arlington Forest and visit the trees. Or visit a tree in your own neighborhood. Touch the bark. Notice its leaves. Take a deep breath and say a prayer of thanks for sharing life together. Be a junior park ranger for once. And one final note about looming fall and weariness. Every fall, I pull out this poem about trees because it's a good reminder to me to not be afraid of what is to come. To remember as we watch these leaves change and drop their leaves and let go, that they trust in the seasons of winter and then the coming spring. That we can trust that we are not alone, that God has been here for generations and will be with us today and into the weird tomorrow, whatever it brings, whether it's chaotic or more of the same. So I'd like to end with this poem called Being Trees in Autumn by Pastor Steve Garnes Holmes. These trees in Buddhist saffron robes, renouncing everything, becoming naked without fear. And wind that is part of them, disclose a beauty in this death, become new shapes, interior. To live, they cannot hoard, this losing too is growth. New shapes emerge, new vision clears. Surrender strengthens in the soul another song. This emptying is confidence in spring, but more, a faithing in the growth that's come before, a counting of the gifts, and then releasing one by one, so as to give again, knowing growth is not a season, but it is the root of all things. This is no losing, but a becoming. Coveting such openness of limb and heart and hand, such bareness in the singing, I only now discover that I want to this wind, blowing where it will, within. Happy fall. Amen. Thanks be to God.